Kumlen Rablak Gemara, we are up to Daf Vav Amud Aleph by the two dots, about 15 lines to the top. We finished discussing Lo Yirah V'Lo Yimatze. The word Lachot tells us only your chametz cannot be seen, but someone else's can. However, we did learn that even if you have someone else's chametz, if you take responsibility, it becomes like yours, and therefore you are liable. So we can continue on that theme a little bit. Tell them what we learned. About 15 lines on top of the page. The Rabban learned, Nochri a goy shenichnes lechatzei desha Yisrael. If a goy walked into the courtyard of a yid, ubetzeikai biyodoin, has dough in his hand, ein zokuk levaya. You don't have to send the goy away from your house, because avlat roi shalachenim, you can see someone else's chametz in your house. What happens if kidei etzla, if the goy stored the chametz by you in your house, then zokuk levaya, you're going to have to destroy it. And as we learned before, when do you have to destroy if a goy leaves chametz in the house? If you take responsibility. We just had an argument with Rishonim, then three different opinions as to what level of responsibility are we talking about. But nevertheless, whether it's only oinus, or whether even just gneiva v'aveda, or even just a shem echinim, it doesn't for a favor, pshia. What happens if yichad loy bayis? If he's designated a section in your house, a room in your house, he told the guy, you know what, deposit your goods there, your chametz there. Ein zokuk levaya, you don't have to destroy it. Shenema, because it says lo yimotze. Now, how we learn lo yimotze, we'll see in a minute, but there's a big machlek, he's showing him how to understand yichad loy bayis. Rashi says, yichad loy bayis, you designate a room, so that's tantamount to saying, I'm not taking responsibility, find yourself a safe spot and put it there. And that's why you don't have to get rid of it. Tosus says, if the whole vert is you didn't take responsibility, why do you have to say yichad lebayis? Anywhere in the house, if I don't take responsibility, you can put it wherever you want. So therefore, Tosus learns that yichad lebayis means you did take responsibility. But because I gave you a room as if I'm saying, I'm taking responsibility for a goy's chametz in a goy's house, when in that case, I am not chayiv. But Rashi says, yichad loy bayis, even though you didn't clearly say I'm not taking responsibility, by expressing yourself saying yichad loy bayis, what you're really saying is, and that's what the Gemara is trying to say, is I'm not taking responsibility, you just find a safe spot that you're comfortable with, and there you have it. And based on this case, I was just home machlekes with Rishonim, so you're taking responsibility of a goy's chametz in a goy's house, you're not liable. What happened? You take responsibility of a yid's chametz in the yid's house. You know, are you liable then or not? Only Rosh and other Rishonim. Says the Gemara, anyway, it says here, you're not responsible because it says lo yimatzi. Now, before the Gemara, by saying lo yimatzi makes things worse, not better. Because by lo yimatzi, it doesn't actually say lecha, only through Gzeira Shava. So what are you telling me? By lo yimatzi sounds, it shouldn't be found in any way in your place. So how are you learning from there that if goy's chametz is in my place, but I gave him a room, I'm not responsible? It's lecha, the wrong word to use. So the Gemara says, Rashi says, Omar Papa says, Areisha Koi, you're right. This pasuk Shenema Lo Yimatzi is not referring to why in the leniency, it's actually referring to the beginning of the Braisa, which is strict, and that is Hochakamar, Hifkide Etzle in the second clause. If the goy stored it by you, Zokuk Levaya, you have to destroy. Look, it's not my chametz. Shenema says Lo Yimatzi, it shouldn't be found by you. Now, why? That since you took responsibility, it's as if it's already found by you, because you have a connection to this chametz. So we're using the lay matzei to actually as a stringency. Why, in case number two, I'm responsible for a goy's chametz, and after you get rid of it, it's talking about where it's matzei lecha, you took responsibility. Rav Ashi says, no. The way you read the braisa, it seems to flow when it's coming to the end, when it comes to leniency. You gave him a room, and you potter lo'ilam asefer koi, talking about a sefer. You gave him a room, you potter, because it says lo yimotze. How is that lo yimotze? This is what he says. Yichad le'bayis, if you set aside a room in zokuk levai, you don't have to get rid of it. Shenemra, it says lo yimotze bevateichem. It shouldn't be found in your house. The high love the dehu, and this is, it says bevateichem in your house. This is not your house. The nochri kekamayel the base of the nafsha kamayel, and that's the point. When it says lo yimotze, the proof is not from the words lo yimotze. It's actually the words bevateichem, and that word is missing in the braisa, but it should be put in. It says it shouldn't be found in your house. Even if it took responsibility, it shouldn't be found in your house. But it's not your house. This is the goy's house, because you gave him the room, and by giving him the room, lending him the room, or whatever it is. It becomes the goy's room, and therefore, you took responsibility for goy's chametz in a goy's house. and therefore you are potter. Okay, that's what Taisha learned. Says the Gemara, the Memra, so what are you telling me? This chidus kanya, you're telling me that by giving the room to the goy, you're lending him or you're renting to him, it suddenly becomes the goy's room, even though it's sitting in your house, it's the goy's room, and therefore you're not responsible. So you're coming and telling us that renting makes it totally mine. But now we learned in the Mishnah in the Mora, where the Zohar talks about you're not allowed to sell properties to a goy and made a different way to stroll or chutzlot, whether it's agriculture, whether it's houses and so on. So it says there, av b'mokam, and the question is if you're allowed to rent. So it says over there, when it says you're not allowed to rent houses to a goy in Eretz Yisrael, but outside Eretz Yisrael you're allowed to rent. And even if you're allowed to rent outside Eretz Yisrael, it's mainly just for warehousing and not for dwelling, and why not? What are we so worried about renting a house to a goy? Av b'mokam she'amru lahaska, that you're permitted to rent, loy lebeis dir amru, we're not talking about for dwelling quarters, b'pnei she'machnisin l'toyche avodah zarah. Because you bring the goy brings avodah zarah into the house. Now the question is, so what? It's his house. He's renting it. So doesn't that prove that the renter does not really own the house? He owns the use of the house. The landlord is the owner of the house. And this goy is bringing avodah zarah into the house in times when we're very concerned about these things. Comes out that the landlord will be responsible, will be even avera. So we see that schiris is not koine. If you tell me that a renter, he takes over the house, so what? The goy brings the avodah zarah into his own house. So who cares? Saying more shiny hocha, no, here's different. You're right. That renting maybe does not really own the house. But by chametz, it's enough. Because the Torah said, lo yimatz, it shouldn't be found by you, it shouldn't be accessible to you. And this isn't accessible because there's a tenant there. So even though technically I own the house, but it's inaccessible. Shiny hocha, the afke rachmone beloshen lo yimatz, it shouldn't be found. Mi shimotzi biyotcha, only that was accessible. Yotzezeshe ein motzi biyotcha, it's not accessible. And that's why if you remember the Abdallah and Aleph, we discussed keys. Whoever had the key at the night of the 14th, and the way Taisa learns, nothing to do with acquisition, but rather who had access. So really, Schiris is not koine. If actually, it's a machleik, it's a Schiris koine, but he cannot bring any proof. Schiris is not koine, but by designating that room, I no longer have access. According to some, the question whether Schiris is koine or not koine is the same argument between Rabbi Yechiel and Shlokish, whether Kinyan paid is Kinyan goof or Lafkin goof. When I, let's say, have, I rent land from you for a couple of years, is it like I own the thing itself, the property itself? Kinyan Paytas. I have the rights to the produce. Do I own the actual farm itself? Or Kinyan Guf or Lavka Kinyan Guf? And same thing here. I'm renting the premises. Does that make the premises actually mine or not? Others say it's not totally related to that argument. Anyway, so they went further. Amar Yehuda Rav will have a number of dinim, the next two pages, that Yehuda's a name or Rav. Yehuda's a name or Rav. Hamaytzei chametz bebeisei biyamtev. If you found chametz in your house on yamtev, what should you do? You destroy it, you burn it, you get thrown away. But on Yom Tov, if you can't, it's muktzah. Because chametz cannot be eaten, so it's muktzah. You cover it with the keli, and after you have to, in chalma, you get rid of it. Now, big machlek is a shenim, what are we talking about here? According to Rashi and others, we're talking about you already made bittul of the chametz. You already nullified the chametz. So from the Torah's perspective, you're no longer oivan avera. The whole question here is you're oivan avera, you're rabbanon. We don't want you to have chametz in your house, even though it's not, you know, you're mevatlet. We don't want mevatl sarashivdek. Fine. But here, it's Yom Tov, it's muktzah. We're not going to suspend the laws of muktzah because of the mitzvah rabbanon to get rid of the chametz. So we tell you, kaifel of zekli. But according to Rashi, what would be if you did not make bittul? That means mahatayra, every second you have the chametz in your house, you are over, then the Rabbanu would not have stood in the way. Of course, they would have said, take the chametz and get rid of it, throw it away, throw it down the ocean. Even though it's only muktzah, we're not going to put the laws of muktzah in the way of you being over by your Rabbi Masa every single second. So that's what Rashi learns. Other Rashi learn that even if you were not about the chametz, in Mount Torah, the Rabbanu stand in the way, and they say the laws of chametz are still there, and the laws of muktzah are still there, and you cannot move the chametz, and you won't be over by Rabbi Matzi, because it's an onus. We don't allow you to move the chametz. So therefore, you won't be over, and we're not going to suspend those laws. Anything but further, Omar Rav, this is Rav, why do you have to cover it with a keli? Why cover it all? if you already made bittul, you're not over anyway, because we don't want you to forget yourself and eat from the chametz, says Rava. So in a case where we're not worried you can eat from it, for example, imshal hegdishu, if let's say you donated, you consecrated it, ain't it tzarech, you don't have to cover it because you anyway will not eat from it. My time, mibdul bedilimina, even if one of the Pesach, during the year, if you set aside something for donating to the Beis HaMikdash, you consecrated it, you obviously keep away from it, so we're not worried that you might come to eat it. Another day, chemtze shenochi, what about the chametz of a goy that's sitting in your house, which you said before, if you don't take responsibility, you're allowed to have it in your house. Nevertheless, oisalei mechitza, you make on the Erev Pesach, make some kind of a partition to, so you should remember that you shouldn't eat from it. And Shem Heki, you should remember. Now here, to cover it with a keli the entire Pesach, that's not something we rely on. It's only something that, because again, it's so easy to take the utensil and use it for something, you'll forget that it was covering chametz. But on Yom Tov proper, obviously you cannot build a partition. We only learned that if a partition came up on, you know, on Yom Tov, you're allowed to use it, but you cannot build it, so then it's enough to, sufficient to just cover it. So if you make a partition, so you shouldn't come to eat from it. But the imshal hegdishu, but again, hegdish ain't tzadich my time of wine, mivdul bedili in shemineh. You're far more removed from hegdish than, let's say, what something you're minding for somebody else. Because something you can always think yourself, I'll eat it now and I'll reimburse him. Another din, hamefarish, if somebody travels, if somebody's traveling overseas. Now this is when you learn the idea that the 30 days prior to Pesach, you already have obligations to clean your house. And we'll include, according to Rava, that even if you're going on a trip to Israel for Pesach, even though you don't have any intentions of returning home on Pesach, if you left within 30 days before Pesach, you have an obligation, you already have the chiv of cleaning your house. We'll see in the Gemara later why 30 days. And therefore you have to make Dikl Chametz the night before you go. You just don't make a bracha here because it's before the 9th or the 14th. And you'll make Bikas Chametz again wherever you end up, and there you make a bracha. But still, you have an obligation to make him bedik, as we'll see. So the first Rav, Yehuda Rav, says a general halacha, if you're traveling overseas, or in a caravan, by sea, or by the caravan, koidim shleisha, prior to, before 30 days, before Purim, ein zakuk levaya, you don't have to clean up your house for Pesach. But toich shleisha, if you leave within the 30 days, then zakuk levaya, you have to clean up your house. Abai has one understanding and Rava has another one. Abai says, "How the amr this that you say, toich shleisha yom levaya? Why should you have to clean your house out if you're within the 30 days? Le amr dait lachze must be talking about you intend to come back during Pesach. Aval ein dait lachze, and other Rishonim say you intend to come back right before Pesach. It's too close. But if you have no intention of coming back, even within 30 days, ein zakuk levaya. Why bother cleaning up? You don't have to clean up." Says so Rava says, it doesn't make sense. If your intention is to come back in middle of Pesach, and if you leave Chanukah time, you're still the same. What's it when you left? If you're going to come back in the Pesach, you have to make sure your house is clean before you leave. Then if you left Rosh Hashanah, it would be the same thing. You'll come back in middle of Pesach, you'll be over. Now Rashi says, they're very important in Rashi, three lines of Baram. Rashi says that if you come back in middle of Pesach, you'll be over only when you come back. But not before you came back, even though you have chametz in your house. Because Rashi holds that chametz she'eino yodua, chametz that you have at home, that you're not aware of, you're not over by your rabbi matzah. There's a big machlek in Rishonim, the Rosh here at the beginning of second Pedic, and above on the Beis, and other Rishonim, and the Tur, the Bach, everybody talks about it. If chametz that you're not aware of, are you over or not? And Rashi clearly says that when you come home, you'll be over from that moment and onwards, and you won't have a chance to mevatel anymore because it's already after Pesach started. And Rashi says, only when you see it, you're over. So the question everybody asks on Rashi is, so why did the first Rashi in the Gemara say that you check your house out for chametz? Because you shouldn't be over by your matzah. You're not over if you don't see it, so don't check. And you won't be over. What do you gain by uncovering it? So they all learn Pranarashi. Rashi means that if middle of Yom Tov, it becomes uncovered. In fact, you're not over from beginning of Pesach if you don't know about it. But if you suddenly it comes out when the kids pulled it out from wherever it was, then you will be over from that moment onwards, and that's why we're doing it. Anyway, Elam Rav says, Rav, Hodam, this is how you understand Rav. This is that we say Koidim Shleishiyim prior to Purim. Ein zokuk levaya, you don't have to throw the chametz. Is talking about you have no intention of coming back by Pesach la'amra and del shein daite lachze. You have no intention to go back during Pesach or even right before Pesach. I will daite lachze if intentions to come back. Then I feel Rosh Hashanah nam zokuk levaya. Even Rosh Hashanah, you have to clean up. So he says that within 30 days, you always have to clean up, because you already have a chiyuv of cleaning up chametz. And how do I know that? The Ozda Rav the Tameh, Rav is consistent with his view. No, but Rav says, if you turn your house, you could transform your house into some kind of a warehouse. And let's say you brought in there all kinds of grains, and underneath there you might have some chametz trapped there. Prior to 30 days, ein zokuk levaya, you don't have to destroy it. You don't have to destroy it. Because we say that it's, it came rotten, it's negligible. What Rashi says, it's like a mapilis, like an avalanche that covered it. And you don't have to worry about digging it up. If you did it within 30 days, you covered over the chametz, too late. Zokuk levaya, you have to clean up. Why? Because once you have a chiv, once you have the chiv starts within 30 days, you have to then comply with it. And nachman, the koydim shleishim namlam. Even before 3 days, when you have to clean the warehouse, alashen daiti lefanoisei, you have no, and you don't have to clean up only if you have no intention of clearing out these grains that are covering over the chametz. Avo daiti lefanoisei, if your intention is to clear out the warehouse, afilu koydim shleishim nami zokuk levaya. That even before 3 days, you have to clean up because you, in the middle of Pesach, to clear the warehouse, suddenly there's chametz there exposed. Okay, so that is, and that is the halacha. Says the Gemara, what's this 30 days all about? What's this 30 days? Kitanya, as Gemara explains, there's 30 days before Pesach already begins. It says, Shoyalin, Vidorshin, Behicha Pesach, people ask questions, they're correct. Sometimes they ask you a question, which you don't have to answer them because it's totally the wrong time. But 30 days before Pesach is already the right time to ask Vidorshin. And also you start darshaning, Behicha Pesach, Kedem HaPesach, Shleishin Yom, 30 days. Machlek is a shayin if this applies to all Yom Tovim, or applies just to Pesach, or Pesach and Sukkot. 30 days prior. And Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says, Shtei Shabbos, only 2 weeks. My time in the Tanakhama. What is the logic of the Tanakhama? Why does he say 30 days? So he said very simply, because in Parshas Baal Leischa we find that Moshe Rabbeinu is already giving them instructions on Pesach about Pesach Sheni, which is 30 days prior. Moshe Aimed be Pesach Rishon umachzer al Pesach Sheni. It talks about Hashem. It says Vayasim Neisod al Pesach b'Moed at the right time. It says Vahi Anoshin Shemayin Hashodim. They came and asked a question, and Moshe Rabbeinu answered them straight away. Now Luchayda, if 30 days is way too early, he shouldn't have answered them. Is a raya that shoyalin, that people ask you questions at the right time, and v'doshin, and yudashin, the laws, and Moshe Rabbeinu, in Parshas Baal Leischa, and Pesach Rishon, already gave over, they asked him questions, and he gave all the laws for Pesach Sheni. That's how we know it's 30 days. Says the Gemara, Rav Shimon Gamliel, what does he do with that? Omlach, Aidi, no, that's different. Aidi, the Aidi, b'mil pischa. Since he's already talking about Pesach anyway, he didn't start a new subject. He was talking about Pesach Rishon. This is a makeup for Pesach Sheni. So therefore, therefore, it's totally appropriate for Moshe Rabbeinu to continue talking about the rest of Pesach, how to make it up. But in a normal case, Stam Levot, 4 weeks is way too early. So Pesach Rishon, 4 weeks is too early. No, so my time is Rosh Bag. What's his logic? Where does he know 2 weeks from? It was as Chodesh umazir ala Pesach. He gave them all instructions what to do. He told them to take a sheep and a lamb and all that. For Pesach, it's clear. Excuse me. Is it clear that 2 weeks prior is the right time to give the instructions? It says Chodesh azel lechem reish chadashik. Because if it says Dabru akod asis olaymo, tell the Eden. Hashem tells Moshe, tell the Eden be'asal Chodesh azel the 10th day of this month. Vichalem mishta lebeis abes. Even take a lamb, tie the post to the bed, and so on. So the Gemara asks a question. How do you know the Bereish Yachakoi? How do you know what happened to Rosh Chodesh? Dilma ba'abor b'yarche. HaChodesh hazel lechem. This month is your month. But how do you know it's said on Rosh Chodesh? Maybe it's said on the 4th day or the 5th. B'chamisha b'yarche day month koi. Now, even though everybody's familiar with Rashi says there, which is in the Gemara, that HaChodesh hazel lechem. Hashem had to point out the new moon because this is the first mitzvah given to us. Kiddush Levana and all that. So Tais already in Hashem answer that all we know from there is that Hashem instructed Moshe on Rosh Chodesh Nissan. But when did Moshe instruct the Yidden? Maybe he waited till the 4th or the 5th. What happened about the Kiddush Levana, that's only between Moshe and Hashem. Elamba Rabba Basim Mashmed Ravina Mahocha Hadash, you will know 2 weeks before, he knows it from the following psukim. It says, Vaida ben Hashem al Moshe ben Midbar Sinai, Hashem spoke to Moshe ben Midbar Sinai, Bashona Hasheni, the second year, Bachodesh Hadishin, in the first month. When it says in the Pasuk, V'yasu V'yosu B'nei Yisrael Esapesah, the Eden will make the Pesach B'moida in the right time. So Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the Eden in Midbar Sinai in the second year of their sojourn, on the first month Nisan, and it says there, V'yasu B'nei Yisrael, and they should make the Korban Pesach at the right time. No, And we're assuming now that when B'chodesh Rishon means the first day of the first month. Asking, what? How do you know that? Hachanami, here too. B'maydi B'reish Yachrika, the first day of the month. Dilma Ba'abba B'yachr, B'chamisha B'yachr, the fourth day of the month, or the fifth day of the month. Koi Omnach Mitzchak. As we learn out, Midbar M'midbar. We make a G'zeresh Shavah. There's another passage where it talks about the desert. We know it's the first day of the month. So here too as well. Ksiv Hach, here it says B'midbar Sina. Here it says in the Pasuk, Hashem spoke to Moshe in Midbar Sinai, and this is right in the beginning of Midbar. And it says elsewhere, and Hashem spoke to Moshe in Midbar Sinai, Hashem spoke to Moshe. So the first part of Balaich, it says in Midbar Sinai, right in the beginning of Midbar, it says Hashem spoke to Moshe in Midbar Sinai, the first day of the second month. So it says, the Midbar Sinai, and it says the first day of the month. So in Parshas Ba'aleicha, when it says the Midbar Sinai, B'shena Sheni is B'chodesh Rishon, it means the first day of the month. Mal Hamlesh Chodesh, Kamlesh Chodesh, first day of the month. Says about a side issue, as you understand. Why is Parshas Ba'aleicha, an event that happened earlier, written in Ba'aleicha, and Parshas Ba'midbar is written in first? Parshas Ba'midbar happened in Chodesh Iyar, the second month. Parshas Ba'aleicha happened in Chodesh, the first month. Shouldn't the order have been reversed? The Nichta Bereisha the Chodesh Rishon. The first tells the events that happened in Nisan, and then tells the events that happened in Iyar. Why does the Torah reverse the order? So in Gemara Yavam must be learned the Torah didn't want to embarrass us, because that was the only Korban Pesach the Eden ever brought. After that, they no longer brought a Korban Pesach the rest of the years in the desert, because they didn't circumcise. And so the north wind didn't blow, and they were punished because they hung around the desert so long. So therefore, we didn't want to focus on their shame. So the Torah therefore started in this way. But nevertheless, Omer Rav Menashe bar Zachlifa Mashmei de Rav Zoyse Medes. From here we learn out something else. Ein Mugdim Umeuche B'Torah. From here we learn out that there's no order in the Torah. There's no order in the Torah. Omer HaPapa, said HaPapa. Lo Yamna, when do we say there's no order in the Torah? Ela B'Tre in Yonah, which right now we think we mean in two different places. If it's in two different places, like over here, you have Bamidbar is the month of Iyar, and Ba'aleicha is the month of Nisan. Okay, there's no order. Awa B'Chad in Yonah, but in the same part of the Torah, Maida Mugdim Mugdim was written first as first, and Maida Mugdim Mugdim written afterwards as afterwards. Because we have so many rules that we learn out. One of the 13 midas are rules that place a very big importance, great importance on the order, the sequence of the words. For example, Dilat Yemach, we don't believe there's any order in the Torah anywhere. Klal uprat. You have a klal, which is a generic term, and then a prat, which is specific. And the rule is, whenever you have a generic term, all-inclusive term, and then you're very specific, Ein bechlal ela mashe prat. The prat is coming to limit the klal to the prat. But if you tell me there's no order in the Torah, how I know which word is first and which word is second? That inclusion, then is only limited to whatever the prat is, the specifics. Maybe the order should be reversed. No, question number one. Soon, and the reverse. We have a concept called prat uklal. If you have a prat, then you have a klal, then it adds so much. Nase klal moisiv ala prat. It's adding. But who told you that's the order? Dilma klal upratu. Says the Gemara, if that's your whole proof, that in one portion of the Torah, because we have this concept of klal prat, if you must say there's an order, we know that according to one opinion, even if it's written at two parts of the Torah, in two different places, if it's the same theme, you can still learn klal prat. Even Aseres HaDibros, we learn klal prat from the first Aseres HaDibros, the second Aseres HaDibros, we learn klal prat from different, as long as it's the same subject, even though it's a different parashias. So, I feel a bit today, you know, even two different parashas. Hanicha, so this, what you're saying makes sense. Lamand Omar, Klalu Prat Hamru Chokizem, as they have two different parashas. Ain't done noise of Chal Prat, you do not reuse these rules. Fine, shopping. Elamand Amadonin, make them, we're going to say. Says the Gemara, I feel Lamand Amadonin, even the one who says that you do learn Klal Prat, if it's a two different parashas, Hani Milu Bechad in Yonah, might be two different parashas, but it's the very same subject. Ava Betrein Yonah, two different subjects, there's no order in the Torah. Ain't done, we won't judge. And there's no order in the Torah. So Bamidbar and Ba'aleicha, two different yonah, therefore there's no order in the Torah. But if it's the same portion, the same idea, then we could learn, there's an order in the Torah, we could learn the rule of Klal Prat. Says the Gemara, again back to Omer Avinu Marav. Abodik, we had before, the Rais Abitur Ba'al Masagi, but we still want you to do Bdika. Like you had in the beginning of Mishnah, according to Rashi, because we don't want you to be over by Rabbi and Matzei, because maybe your bittul wasn't wholehearted, like the Ran says, or maybe like the Rabbi Vadavatun says, you might change your mind about the bittul. But according, here the Gemara forget, if you're Baidik, you still have to do bittul as well. Because you might say, once I did Bdika, that's it. especially according to Rashi, that once you bedikah that you're not over in the chametz, even if you're not aware of it, you're not over, then what's the problem? Omer Rav Abayi Levati, you have to mevatel my time, but why? Why do you have to mevatel? Inam mishum piruri, we are worried about crumbs in your house. Halei chashivi, they're not significant. And the way Rashi learns that the whole idea of bittul is to say that they're insignificant like dust. If they're only crumbs, it's already like dust. I don't have to, in my mind, assume that this chametz is dust. It is dust because it's piruri. According to Taisus, the whole idea of bittul is to make it ownless hefker. So Taisus is saying the most question is if it's piruri. Piruri means that it's worthless. So it's as if it's ownless. I don't want it. As if it's hefker. V'chitema, are you going to say? Kivun the mintaluaga base, when you close the door of the house, automatically these things become watched. It's as if you're giving it some significance. Chashivi, it's considered suddenly that it has some significance. So according to Rashi, it's no longer ownerless because it has some significance. Or according to Rashi, it's no longer dust because it has some significance. No, but Tanya, we learned elsewhere that closing a door, if the purpose is not for this particular item, doesn't give it any importance. Where we learn that? We learn that the seifei te'eni, we learn the ends of the, let's say, figs. Let's say you have figs that are not ripe that are hanging on the trees at the end of the season, and umeshamis adayu. But the reason why you're closing your front gate is banana of him because you still have grapes growing and you're protecting that. Does that mean that you are not mafkir those ends of the te'enim because you shut the door? No, because since your intention was to protect the grapes and you had no intention to protect this seifer te'enim, then it doesn't matter. And it's like hefker. If somebody takes it, they're not going to be a gazlan. Or vice versa, seifer novim, the end of the grapes, end of season. These are unripe grapes, and you're not going to do anything with them anyway. And they'll never become ripe. Umeshamis sadeyu. But the reason why you're closing your field is mipnei mikshayis. You're closing your field is because of the mikshayis, mipnei medloyis, because of the mikshayis are like squash or gourd family and so on. Bisman shabalabayis makpid alayin. If you take a care about the seifer te'enim and the seifer novim, then asur gezel. Obviously, you're not stealing because you're a ganav. The door's closed, and he's thinking about everything that he has in his garden. The chayav and the mice, and he has to give his mice as well because there's an owner there. But bisman she'ein balabayis makpid, the balabayis doesn't really care about those things growing on the tree because they'll never mature. Then mutari mishum gezel. Somebody steals it, they're not a gazan. I close the front door, but I had no intention for the seifer te'enim for these unripe figs. My intention was to protect the grapes. Or mishum mice, and I'm most exempt from mice because it's hefker. So you see clearly from here, the fact that you close the door of your house doesn't make the Purim Chashav. So why do you have to be Baidik? If you Mevatl, that's enough. Why do you have to be Baidik the Chametz as well? Oh, sorry. Why do you have to be Mevatl? Once you're Baidik, you're Baidik. Why do you have to be Mevatl? What are we worried about? The crumbs that you didn't see? It's not an issue. Because anyway, it's like dust, or anyway, it's ownerless. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava. Rava says, Gzeida, we are worried. Shema yimotze gluzke yofa. You might find yourself a nice biscuit. The dietilla, and you're going to think about it for a minute, and you're going to, by thinking about it, you are going to make it chashuv. And you're going to make it chashuv, and you're not going to want to destroy it straight away. Therefore, we say, be mevatlet, so that you won't be over. And as Rashi explains, since it dietilla, you thought about it, and it looks significant in your eyes, you're not running to burn it straight away. And that second, the 2 seconds you're laying it, you'll be over by your rabbi yamotze. But once you're mevatlet, you're no longer over, because you did what you're supposed to do. Interesting, according to those who hold that you can cancel your bittul, why aren't we worried that you're going to cancel your bittul as well here? What's going to help the bittul if we're worried about finding a biscuit, which is a bit of a problem? But apart from that, Rashi seems, again, clear to say, when will you be over? Only once you found the chametz. Prior to finding the chametz, you're not over, because chametz she'eini yidu, you're not over. This actually supports Rashi's view. It says the Gemara further, the Rosh and others will learn, we're talking here about chametz, which was an oinus, which you couldn't have found. Even if you were to look for it, it's not there, it wasn't there somewhere, that if it was on the surface, it was easy to find. And if it's somewhere that's not easy to find, like buried, that's more like an onus, and even the Rosh will be made you not over. And that's what we're worried about, that from there it'll come out. Says the Gemara, if so, why do you have to mevatel chametz? If you happen to come across chametz, you mevatel it then. Says the Gemara, dimu mishkachel lebasar isurei. Maybe you'll find it when the Pesach already came in, And the problem is, v'lav b'shusei kaimer, it's no longer yours, l'matzim v'vatlei, and you can no longer make it bittul, because bittul is only as long as the chametz is in your control. Once Pesach comes in, it's not in your control. According to Taisa, it's no longer yours, so how can you mevatel it? The Torah only makes it yours to be over by Rabbi Matzi, but technically it's no longer yours, because osa b'hanoi, you can't have any benefit, and therefore, how can you make it hefker again? How can you make hefker something that doesn't belong to you? It's only yours as far as the Isser is concerned. According to Rashi, how can you make it insignificant? It's already insignificant. It's osa b'hanoi. And the Torah says, as far as the Isser is, you're over. So what's it going to help? This is another proof against the Rosh. What's the most question is when you'll find it, you'll be mevatlet. But the Rosh says that chomesh any do, you're over. You'll be over every second till then. Again, it's talking about those lands, because in others, that is talking about in a case you couldn't find the chomesh, so it's like onus. It's an onus. The Ran says, if bittul, what's the idea of bittul here? He says it's like hefker. But how could it be like hefker when you cannot make hefker without three people and all that? And you have to make sure someone else is there. Take it away, according to those who hold that hefker is not valid, hefker until someone actually takes it. So he says a very interesting thing, which is used in Shulchan Aruch. He says that really, the chametz is no longer yours. Comes 12 o'clock, Hashem takes the chametz away from you, as we'll see in the Gemara in a minute. He only brings it back to you because you didn't clean it up, so he gives it back to you to be over. The moment you said in your heart, I want to be mevatel chametz, that what you're saying is, don't give it back to me. In normal hefker, it's mine. I got to take it out of my domain. I take it out of my ownership. Here, the Eibusher already takes it out of my ownership. But he's about to give it back to me to be over. So by me making bittul, what I'm really achieving is not taking it out of my ownership. I am preventing it from coming back to my ownership. And to do that, you don't need such a strong hefker with three people and all that kind of stuff. Says the Gemara, Tesis has a problem with Rashi. If you don't want to burn it, maybe you won't want to it either. And others say, no, burning it, even though it's not a question of ownership, it's just, you just feel bad burning a beautiful piece of chametz. But making a bottle, you don't feel bad because the chametz hasn't really changed in your hands. Rabbi Loza said, Shnei Dvorim Eina B'Shalom, two things that technically are not yours because it's also Bahamna, you can have a benefit. As if it's yours. A boy b'shus ram, you dig a hole in the middle of the street. It doesn't become yours, but you're totally responsible. If an animal falls in, you're responsible. And the chametz m'sheis shas l'mayla, chametz from 12 o'clock and onwards is no longer yours, but you're over. Rashi, famous Rashi here, when it says it's not b'shusa shalodim, Rashi adds two words about four lines above the wider lines. He says l'b'shusu ein shaloi. There's a big argument, and there's a long rivash that talks about it. But all the rishonim achrayim, everybody goes to town. If you're not going to have any benefit from something, is it still yours or not? So Rashi clearly says if it's ein b'shusa, it's not in your possession. It's not yours anymore. Eino shaloi. We don't have time now to go into more length, but it's a very interesting subject. Says the Gemara, okay, so why don't you mevatlet? Why don't you mevatlet while you're being by the chametz the night before? Be mevatlet right before you burn the chametz. Mevatlet ba'arba, maybe mevatlet 9 o'clock in the morning, mevatlet ba'chamesh, mevatlet 10 o'clock in the morning. What if mevatlet the preceding night? Says the Gemara. So anyway, since you're allowed to continue eating chametz, you know, it doesn't look right to do the bittul. Wait till in the morning when you know about to stop eating chametz. Do the bittul then. Says the Gemara very simply. Kivan the lav zman isuruhu. 9 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning, you're still allowed to eat chametz. The lav zman biyudu. So it's not the time when the chametz kicks in, the isur of chametz, or the time of burning it. What's going to remind you suddenly in the morning to make bittul? Dilma pasha, you might be negligent. In other words, you're going to forget to say it, and then eventually you become negligent because nothing to remind you. But if you do it during the bedikah, then you remember. In Tein Halacha, by the way, we do it twice. We do it by the bedikah's chametz, but we do it again by the beer chametz. Says the Gemara, v'levatle b'shis. Okay, so why don't you make a bottle? Now, here's a big machlek to show you what the Gemara's question is. According to Tesis, and I'll tell you enough from Halacha. The question is, why don't you make a bittul 12 o'clock? And according to Rashi, the question is, why don't you mevatle it at 11 o'clock? 12 o'clock is when it's osa mahakayra, and 11 o'clock is when it's osa derabbanan. So the most question is, why isn't he mevatlet at 12 o'clock? and because you are burning the chametz, you are not going to make any mistake. You're not going to make a mistake because you're doing an event. You're doing something for chametz. And Kivan the Isuda de Rabbanon Alayaka Raisa Damya. So the Gemara says, because since there's an Isuda de Rabbanon, it's like the Torah already, and therefore 11 o'clock you're not allowed to have him in the Rabbanon, so therefore it's like a Torah, and you can no longer be Mevatel the Chametz. The Lab Beshus is kind of the Mevatel. It's not in Yerushus, and therefore But Taisus learned the question is, he should make it right at the end of 11 o'clock. Of course, once it's 12 o'clock, we just said you can't have mevatel chametz. But it meant a minute before 12 o'clock, go ahead then and be mevatel chametz. So it's not yet Pesach, but it's right before the Isser. According to Rashi, we're talking about 11 o'clock. So Gemara says that since 11 o'clock, or whatever it is, it's also midrabanan to have chametz already, it's also midrabanan, therefore you no longer have the ability to be mevatel chametz. How do you know? Maybe, and the Taita is the one that says I should do bitl tashbisu, so why doesn't it work? So Gemara explains. Because the lab is just a kaima, since Rabbanus imposed an iser, it's no longer in my domain. I can no longer make bitl. If you go to a woman and you give her kedushin at 11 o'clock, right? Which Rabbanon, the chametz, and you gave her chametz, you gave her a bottle of whiskey. Now, Mahatayda, you gave her something of value, she should be engaged to you. Remember, the Rabbanon is chametz. Furthermore, afila b'chiti kurdanaisa, even wheat from the place called kurdanaisa, which is very tough, so it's called chametz nuksha. Chametz, which is very tough, is only awesome with the Rabbanon. So we have according to Rashi, it's a double the Rabbanon. Ain chaychen l'kedushin. Even though it's a double the Rabbanon, she's not engaged. Now, why isn't she engaged? Mahatayda, they're definitely engaged. Because the Rabbanon, when you get married, you say, called the Mekadosh, Adaita Rabban Mekadosh. Whenever you get married, you say, you know, this is Tabazi Kadas Moshe Yisrael. So I'm saying the rabbis agree, but they don't agree, so they remove the condition from the Torah. Taisus disagrees. Taisus holds the end of 11 o'clock, right before 12, so he holds there's only one Rabban in here. Either we're talking about after 12 o'clock and it's Chitid the Kurdanaisa, which is Chametz Nuksha, or it's between 11 and 12, but it's real Chametz. By one derabanan, if you give it to a woman, she's not mekudesh. But if it would be a double derabanan, if it was 11 o'clock and you gave her chametz nuksha, and you said you're engaged to me, then she would be engaged to him. Then the Gemara continues. You tell me you can't have mevatel after 12 o'clock. Latani, we learned in Ebraisa her yoyishah bebeis hamedrash. You were sitting in the beis hamedrash. Veniskin, suddenly you remembered she has chametz b'tet beisa. You remembered you have chametz sitting at home. What should you do? Mevatle belibay. Make bittel straight away. And it's no longer yours. Echad Shabbos, Arkevet Shabbos. So obviously it means that Pesach falls out like this year, Mitzvah Shabbos, is Erev Pesach. And Echad Yomtev, or Arkev, if it's Yomtev. Now what Yomtev could it be? Obviously it's talking about Pesach. It clearly it says here that on Pesach you can go ahead and mevatel. So Bishlei Mishabbos, Mishkach, like in the stand Shabbos, Gigash Chol Arba, also leave Mishabbos. If Erev Pesach was on a Shabbos, and you're sitting in a shul, and suddenly you remember you have Chametz, on Shabbos mevatel it. And this is the whole thing. Ramban argues with Taisus of bitl is hefker. He says you cannot make hefker on Shabbos, and therefore the Rashi is right that bitl is merely tashbisu b'lev. Ella b'yamtiv. Actually, there's an argument if you make hefker on Shabbos, but then if Taisus obviously would hold, you could make hefker on Shabbos. Ella yamtiv, but yamtiv boser isuruhu. Yamtiv is already Pesach. How can he mevatel it? On Bach v'Yakir, Bach v'Yakir says very simply. Hocha here, we're not talking about real chametz. We're talking about a Talmid Hayoshev Lifnei Rabbi Askinon. You're sitting in yeshiva on Yom Tov, on the first day of Pesach. The Niskin suddenly remembers Yesh Isa Megugelas B'Terbeisei. You remember that you have a dough there prepared, ready to be kneaded at home. So this dough is not chametz yet. So you own it. But if you don't do anything in the next short while, it'll turn into chametz. He's worried Shema Tachmitz Kodim. Shema Tachmitz, he's worried that it might turn into Chametz. So what does he do? Kodim, he rushes in. So he can go ahead on Yom to make Bittul because it's not really Chametz yet. And I'll prove it to you that's what's going on here. And therefore, but what everyone agrees, once Pesach comes in, you cannot be Mevatel Chametz. Here you can be Mevatel because it's not Chametz yet. And they cannot prove it to you. Diktani, it says, you're sitting in Yeshiva. Now, what's the relevance of you sitting in Yeshiva? And if you're at home, if you're telling me you're allowed to make bittel after 12 o'clock, that's what you're trying to prove from here. So if you're at home on Yom Tov, even if you're home, you can't burn the chametz. You know, we said before, Bekiva said, you cannot burn on Yom Tov. So if you cannot burn it on Yom Tov, so what are you going to do? All you can do is bittel anyway. I don't care if you're sitting in your shul or sitting at home. If it's on Yom Tov, you cannot burn it. The only thing you can do is to mevatel it. So why does it say you're sitting in a Beis HaMedrash? Obviously, we're talking about a case where you're sitting at home, we tell you straight away, finish kneading the dough. Or do whatever it is. But because you're in yeshiva and it's chutzpah to walk out in the middle of a shir, you don't want to insult your rabbi. So therefore, you have no choice. We tell you, know what? Don't go home to need it. Just be mevatel it. Shmamen is a proof that we're talking about a case where it's not chametz yet. Okay, that finishes today's Gemara.